this, you know, the more beaten down and shame is cast on a believer.
Well, I just think that I love the concept. I just wanted to see it rewritten a little bit.
You know, the less fruit that they will bear.
Yeah, because the more beaten down and shame that's cast, that part didn't, like, I didn't understand it as well as I wanted to understand it. I would have said, like, the more beaten down someone is and the more shame that is cast on them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I know you said you were just writing it.
And sometimes I know what I'm thinking, but it has to go back and go, can you explain that a little more? Because you knew what you were thinking, but I didn't.
Right, yeah. Right. I've been there, done that. Well, we're back in the studio, Brent. We are not live. That's probably good for us. But it's week number two of recording podcasts, journaling our journey. That sounds weird, but they're not the same word. Journaling our journey.
Yes.
That could be the name of a podcast.
Journaling our journey.
To craft a book on... Really, we call it discipleship. It's really evangelism and discipleship. I think if we look at the whole story, which is, of course, our calling as Christians. So, yeah.
Well, I think people seeing that there can be this grand purpose, not there can be, there is, but you have to submit your will to God. And I think there's the evangelism part, because that's, am I going to give my life to you? And then really, when I do, when I begin to be discipled, then I understand who I really am in Christ. And now I go, oh, that's why I can do this purpose, because Christ is in me.
Taking me full circle to now I tell other people about Christ.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So I listened to the last podcast. Obviously, I did the editing on the audio on it anyway, so I listened to it, and you and Eve listened to it now. I have this idea for the podcast where we try to pick out just like two or three things that we do each week together. And in the pod, just to kind of share with people where we're headed. So, you know, one thing might be you share a story or I share a story. One thing might be, here's something that we really thought about this week in terms of, you know, the scriptures we're looking at applying to our lives into the in the book. Or it may be, here's a chapter that we focused on today. Major progress made potentially in the subtitle of the book.
Yeah. It was funny because my book, The Roar Within, the subtitle is Unleashing the Powerful Truth of Who You Really Are. And you came back and you said, man, I still think there's something in using that unleashing in there.
Well, yeah, Brent, because part of your story about knowing you needed to do this next step was that whole word unleash wasn't just this.
Yeah.
You told that last week, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And so just tentatively, there was a bunch of break tentatively.
Yes.
Because it is tentative. Came up with this, like doing an entire series with these unleash things, but this one could be possibly unleashing the power of God's purpose in your life. At first I thought, well, is that too long? But I looked, you know, Baker, when they had me do this last book, there was 9 words in the subtitle. I had 9 words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. There'd be 9 words in this too. So, and it flowed and it made sense.
It does make sense. It fits exactly with the purpose of the book.
Great idea, Kevin.
Well, mark me down for 1, Brent.
Yep. Put the line on the wall. Here we go. We're keeping score here.
Brent's got a whole page full, but I got one. So I'm on the board. We're off to the races. Yeah. Some of the cool stuff we talked about today were, actually, we have another P that potentially, there's a P word too, potentially could join the book somewhere, which is proficiency.
Yeah. And that could be, where did I say it would fit in with principles?
I think it was under practice.
Or under practice.
Yeah.
Under practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it could be a double, you know, at the same time, it could be practicing and proficiency. I don't know.
Sort of back to that sensei quote about practice making permanent.
Right.
Perfect practice getting us. Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Yeah. But that would absolutely fit, because being proficient, you know, I think that's coming up. We're setting up the course for making things priorities, for instance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to say about that word proficient. It's fantastic. And I think one comment I would make is, and you are the only person so far that's had to struggle hearing me say this a lot, which is I come from the corporate world. You know, my company deals with other companies. We work with them to help them be more proficient. In fact, one of our principles is we don't believe in wasting resources. We believe in activity with results, not activity for activity's sake or anything else, but activity for, you know, that gets you results. And so when you said proficient, I was like, yeah, man, you're literally barking up my tree right now, because that's exactly what we think about. So I think that's a great one. And I love the idea of combining it with practice. It probably makes sense.
What were the three A's? Friday I was typing at Starbucks and I said, there's three things here. One was
alignment.
God alignment, the God assignment,
uh-huh.
And the God.
There's one in between those two. It's God.
That's a secret.
Oh, goodness.
We don't want to spill the beans yet.
Yeah, that's true. We can't give them everything.
But it worked really, really well with this.
It really did.
And I thought it was really cool. Last week when I was thinking about this whole book, and I was working on how, you know, if you came out of a theology where they were using shame and condemnation and the fear of God, not like the awesomeness of God, the way we know that it's supposed to be looking, how we look at God's awe, you know, and that fear working out your salvation, but more of, if you do this, you're going to burn in hell forever. That's not the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's grace. No, obviously being mindful of what can happen, but God, and did I say this last week? God can put a gun to a woman's head and say, or a man can, and say, marry me or I'll kill you. And she's probably going to marry him.
Yep.
But she's never going to trust him or love him.
Yep.
God doesn't put a gun to our head and say, you know, receive me.
Nope.
Now, we do know the consequences of what can happen, but what did he choose to do instead of that? To give his only son. This is how much I love you. He took the bullet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we even maybe talked about John 3:16 and John 3:17.
Oh, yeah.
As well in the last pod. But, you know, you make an interesting point, which is this fear of not, or of doing the wrong things and God being like, that's, you know, you're heading to hell, or that's wrong, that's, you're out, whatever the case may be. There's the other side of the coin, too, which is, if these things aren't happening for you, then God must also not love you.
Right. He's not using me. So I'm not,
I'm praying for such and such, and it's not being given to me. I think of some of the televangelists, right? Like, put your hand on my hand and pray for this and not.
So it's like the flashlight story. You have the father who says to the son, I want you to hold the flashlight while I fix this. Well, he's not really kind of teaching you unless he takes the flashlight when he's done and has you do what he did. And the result is, if he doesn't do that, you don't feel good enough.
Yeah.
And that's why so many guys, I'm one of them, who has grown up feeling like I couldn't fix anything. I mean, thank God for YouTube. But you still have those things where we feel like we're not good enough. And that comes back down to our purpose. I have a buddy who messages me once every couple of months and saying, bro, I'm a one-trick pony. This is all I'm good at. And no one wants me for that anymore. I might as well be done with life.
That's horrible.
He doesn't understand.
His
purpose has to be this or it's nothing.
Yeah, his identity is, he doesn't get the whole imago Dei.
And his dad, and I think because no one knows who I'm talking about here, his dad was constantly putting him down when I was growing up, calling him names and, great shot there. We say, what's that thing when someone throws something and they drop it? I'm trying to think how he would always say it. Anyhow, I wish I could remember what that was, because it was a scar that he held with him.
Like a fumble hands type thing or butterfingers?
Yeah, it was something similar to that. Yeah.
Okay. That's too bad.
But it's that nickname that he carried. And growing into his adult life, I'm sure he still has that broken record, that skip in the record we always used to have when we were kids. It's like, man, this thing won't go further. It keeps stuck right there. And you never finish the song. Well, it's the same thing with us. We got to get unstuck and understand where our good enough comes from, or we're going to stay in the same place.
Hmm.
Oh, it was good hands, feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He dropped the ball, good hands, feet.
Yeah, it's same idea. Yeah. That's not good. I don't talk about my dad much, but man, I had an amazing dad. I still have an amazing dad. He raised us well and he loved on us so much, and we didn't hear that stuff from him. I mean, he doesn't come up because he doesn't live here, and I just don't talk about him with the people I'm around. Yeah, but,
and my dad was a great dad too. But here's where I would see his wound come out. Dad, you want to go out and play catch? Because he didn't have a dad to play catch with him. He didn't know how to do that stuff. He didn't know how to throw, to be honest with you. I can remember, Dad, you throw like a girl. Dad, you want to go out and throw the ball? Well, I got papers to grade, you know, and then I got to do this and that. And maybe if I have enough time. And so what would I do? I'd exchange the baseball for a tennis ball, and I'd go outside and throw it against the side of the bricks on the house.
Yep. Hmm. I mean, I don't know if any of us ever gets as much time as we want from our parents. Let's be honest.
And his wound, he wasn't trying to hurt me. It was just his own woundedness played into some of my woundedness.
Like a cat's in the cradle.
Yes.
Type song.
Yeah, big time.
My dad would play with me, and he would teach me a lesson every once in a while on a basketball court in our backyard or side yard. But I mean, I know I spent many a cold day out there on my own shooting as well. But, you know,
oh, dad,
I think about my
that.
Son, man. I wish I'd spend more time with him.
Oh, we all do.
We went out yesterday shooting at the church. We're out in the country, just barely our church, and we have a big cornfield behind it. Shocker here in Indiana. But we set up three shooting stations, and, you know, I got my boy out there with me, and we're holding guns, and we're shooting clays, and, man, it was fun. And he's a pretty good shot, you know, and it's like, ah, you feel great as a father. Well, I mean, he's humble about it. He's asking me, what am I doing? How can I do better? Am I a good shot, Dad? I don't know. You know what I mean?
I think that's one of the greatest lessons right there. It's not how many he's hitting. When he saw that humility, you know, that's a lesson that we all need.
Yeah. Yeah, really proud of him. Just like our Heavenly Father is, it doesn't matter. He loves us, and he likes us.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to come back next week and do this again, Brent. I'm excited. I think we shared enough probably from...
Well, yeah, and I think just for us, this whole journey, we come in, we kind of catch up with each other. What happened during your week? What inspirations did God give you? Like he gave me at B-Dubs when I was watching football yesterday.
Right.
You know, those are the God appointments. That was the one thing that I have in there. It's the God appointments.
Yeah, that was the other A word. It was in the middle.
It's pay attention to in your daily, you know, grind or whatever you want to call it. Where did all of a sudden, when I was writing the last two books, I would go to Panera Bread. I was working on them there. And people got familiar with me being in the corner booth. And they come up and start talking about their life. And I'm like, oh, come on.
And write a book.
Inside, right? You know, being nice. Right. But inside, I'm like, I've got an idea right now. I'm trying to write this. Yeah. And God had to say to me, slow down. There's a reason why this person is coming up. And here's a really cool thing. And I'll kind of give you this real quick. I was writing something about my eye, that my right eye. When I was 5 years old, I ran under a ping pong table.
Oh.
And it about took my eye out, and I had to have emergency surgery done. This is back in Pennsylvania. We are in Indiana. That's when I was five. I'm 63.
Yeah.
I was probably about 58 when I was writing this. And as I'm trying to remember the story, here comes this man walking in who was an attorney in this town who I hadn't seen. I remembered who he was. And he comes walking up, and I said, wait a second, your last name is this. He says, yeah. I said, did you ever like go to a youth camp in Pennsylvania, like as a youth worker, like you were a teen? He goes, yeah, I did, probably around 1966. I said, do you remember a little boy being hurt? And he says, I do. He says, I held you all the way to the hospital.
Are you kidding? You did it at a church camp?
Yeah.
Wow.
Boyertown, Pennsylvania is where the church camp was. And I can remember that whole thing.
I love it. That's a great appointment.
It was an appointment.
Yeah.
And so those are the things when we can stop and go, wait a second, if God is in this, I'm looking for him. He might not be. It could be someone's just being an annoyance that day.
Yeah.
But you still go, hey, thank you for sharing and care about people. But all of a sudden, God said, there's a purpose for this.
And I love it.
And now it's in this last book.
Well, this book is about purpose.
Yes, sir. And funnels. You use funnels when you're like making baking stuff?
I don't.
You don't?
No, but we'll get into this. We'll talk about some baking stories in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your world, buddy. You got
to
teach me.
I like to cook, but...
Well, we're cooking here.
Yeah, we're cooking. All right, brother. All right, bye, everybody.
See you.